Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Lohs.
Hello, John.
And we are continuing with our conversation with Judy Bosworth, who is the supervisor of the Town of North Hempstead. And as I said, I think in my first opening remarks, there are not enough accolades for this woman and the job she is doing and her leadership, not only with the town board, but with all the commissioners, with everybody, and therefore, which trickles down to her constituents. So again, Judy, thank you.
John, thank you again, and Otto, and Dan, and Christina, for providing this opportunity just to talk about what's happening with coronavirus and the different things we can do to make sure that we're protecting ourselves.
I agree. And talking about protection, touch on masks, the importance of, or can people really get away without them, or, you know, what's your opinion? I mean, and it's an important opinion.
So it really doesn't matter what my opinion is at this point, because Governor Cuomo issued a directive saying that if you're going to have interactions of any kind, when you go outside, you must wear a mask. Okay. And when I heard that, I actually thought that was a good directive. But the thing that occurred to me is, well, this is terrific, except you can't get masks. How are people going to be complying with this? And so many people are anxious, and understandably so, because of all that's going on. So to add to the anxiety of how are you going to get a mask, it occurred to me we need to do something about it. And it can't be that the town is providing masks for the residents, because we have 230,000 residents. So if we give out 230,000 masks, that's for one time. And then what? So we need to start becoming self-reliant. We need to learn how to provide ourselves with masks. And I spoke with some of the great people on my team, and I said, we need to come up. There are so many YouTube videos and suggestions of how to make a mask, but we need to come up with a way to make a mask that's simple, that only involves materials that you already have in your home, that doesn't require you to know how to sew, so that you can make a simple mask that will enable you to go out and have that protection. It's not the protection of a medical mask, but it's certainly the protection that the governor is saying you need to have on in order to go out. Even if you're taking a walk, if you're taking a walk and you don't really see anybody, then you don't need a mask. But if you're going for a walk on a busy street and you're constantly interacting or going by people, you need to be wearing a mask. So what we did is, we developed, it's a video that is now on our website, it's now on social media, is now playing on North Hempstead TV. It's playing today, and I know today is Tuesday and this isn't airing until Friday, but it is playing pretty much every half hour. Today it played at 8:16 in the morning, and then at 9:18, at 10:48, at 12:58. So really, at the end of every program, there is this video of how to make a mask, and it's so simple. You need you can use an old t-shirt, you can use an old pillowcase, if you have an old quilt that you're willing to cut up, any material that you can fold up. We suggest 12 inches, because my husband Jay actually made one and he used a 9-inch square, and it didn't cover his nose and mouth. So we made it bigger, we made it 12 inches, and you need to kind of play around with it. And it's just a matter of folding it from the top to the middle, from the bottom to the middle, doing it again. So you need a piece of material, and you need either two rubber bands or two ponytail holders. Now, Otto, I know you may not have ponytail holders, but I would imagine you have rubber bands. And so just so that people know, they are not... Guys, you should see this. John has a bandana on, and he looks like he's ready to rob a bank. That's something else. So that you're able to make a simple mask in your home. After you wear it, you need to wash it. There are some people who say, you know, put a paper towel in between so it provides a filter. You can, you know, you can do a lot of different things, but this enables you to make a simple mask so that you're able to go outside. And if you have any germs, you're not spreading it to others, and it's more protection than if you weren't wearing a mask. So
anything is protection. I agree with you, Judy. No, you know, I mean, obviously you have these, you know, I have one, I don't know what kind of thing this is, a pretty basic one, but then you have thicker ones, and my son-in-law gave me thicker ones, yes. But anything helps, you know, just some sort of a t-shirt, which you're talking about. I saw something on a YouTube that they cut the socks up and they made some, you know, a little creativity, because it's not a fashion statement. It's to save your life and keep you from getting sick. It had nothing to do with, you know, the color or anything else. Otto, you seem, yeah, you want to say something?
Just a side note. When I go for my walks, I do not have a mask, but I have a mask in my pocket. And I have a mask in my pocket in case something ever happens, like somebody is laying in the street or whatever, and I feel like I ought to help somebody. I have the mask in my pocket. So even though I don't use it when I'm walking, because frankly, there's never anybody out, but I do carry it. So just for what that's worth.
That's important. That's a good idea. Even if there was nobody around, but all of a sudden a situation occurs, then you could walk over and talk to somebody, help somebody out, but then you need to protect yourself.
Yeah.
You need to be protected. You know, Jay and I walk every morning. And I'm probably walking more now, you know, than ever before. But I try to walk at a time where other people would be less likely to be out. And I've started calling ourselves the Artful Dodgers, because if we see somebody walking towards us, we'll cross the street. We'll go down another block. We'll go, you know, so you find ways so that you're not coming into contact with anybody. We need to make sure that we're doing what we can to protect ourselves, because in essence, that protects everybody else.
I have it. Go ahead, Otto. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Most people are in the same mental mode as you are. So if you see two people coming at each other, the tendency is right away, somebody's going to either go in the middle of the street or go the other way. So everybody is very conscious of that fact that they do have to avoid each other. Maybe once in a while you wave across the street, somebody gets very friendly. That's about it.
I do that. Right. I do wave. but that's good, because what it means is that message of social distancing is getting out there. People know they should not be next to anybody. They need to keep their distance, and I think, Otto, you said 25 feet. I'm with you. To me, 6 feet isn't enough. If I'm walking, I don't want to be anywhere near anybody else. And it's to make sure that we're being protected. You know, they talk about the curve flattening, and that's a good thing, although there's still so many people who are sick and there's still so many new cases, but they're fewer. And we can't be complacent and say, oh, now it's over. It's not over. If we start relaxing that social distancing, we're going to see more and more people getting sick, and we're going to start going back to where we were. It's comforting to know that we seem to be on the downswing, but we need to do everything that we can to make sure that we maintain that and don't go back to a new surge of cases.
Just a thought on social closures and your vision, your thought. Let's say, okay, finally, the May 13th arrives and you decide to open up things, or May 20th or whatever the date. How do you visualize, like I'll use an example. I go to an AARP meeting over at Clinton Martin Park. And maybe there's 30 people in that meeting. How do you visualize that sort of evolving in the beginning? You know, when this is first, you're gonna open the building and it's like, oh my, the building's going to be open. What happens?
So nothing is going to go back to the way it was. And that's why we are currently having conversations about what will it look like as we slowly and cautiously try to resume activities. Will it mean that people will have to wear a mask while they're in the buildings? Maybe. Will it mean that you still can't have groups larger than 10? Or it could be. But these are things that we're discussing to make sure that whatever we do is being done with a lot of thought and done in a way that is sustainable and won't cause more problems than they solve.
Well, that's good. I'm 100% in agreement. There's no quick answer. You have to sort of go with it as it evolves, and it's going to take time. There's the new normal, which is never going to be the same normal as we had before this. There will be a new normal.
Exactly.
For a period of
time. You know, when we started this, we had calls with our commissioners and heads of departments every day. And then we had a call with our elected officials and the commissioners and the heads of departments every day, so that there was always a constant flow of information, that if there were questions that arose from constituents, that we were able to get the answers from the professionals, from the people who knew best how to answer. And that, you know, now we're not doing it every day because we've kind of gotten into a routine, but those methods are still continuing where we're talking and trying to arrive at the best way to do things so that we are making sure that we're doing what we can to protect our residents and the people who work for the town.
You know, if I jump in here just for 1 second, we're getting ready for another break, but you know, when you look around the country at governors and mayors and supervisors, etc., the one solace that I really do have in the town of North Hempstead is our supervisor's conservative nature. Judy is not the person to turn around and put anybody at risk. And I think that's very important. There's other people out here that are, in my mind, are out of their minds, crazy, and you know, whatever. I don't know what they care about in their personal life. So, and I'm not talking about Judy's personal life, but when you have a caring person at the helm, then you know that's what's gonna guide her and guide the regulations that she and her various people put into effect, which that's, you know, my own commercial for Judy, but I think it's very important and it's very true.
John, it's really a commercial for everybody who works in the town. I've never seen a bunch of more caring people trying to figure out the best way to do things so that we're helping and doing the right things for our residents. And so I'm so proud to be part of the town and to be part of this show.
You know,
that's it, you know, okay.
When this is over, not over, but when it gets to where you can have people in, it would be really great to have a day to honor the nurses and the social workers, particularly from Project Independence, who
absolutely
are on the firing line, if you will. It's not a war, but it's close. Yeah, it's a medical war, emotional, mental war.
No, it's difficult. There's no question about it. Some of these people, it's heartbreaking. But we're going to take another break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back again with Supervisor Judy Bosworth.